Sense and Sensibility by Jane Austen, with Jane Leonard as Eleanor and Abigail McKern as Marianne. Part 3. The Truth About Willoughby.
Oh, Eleanor, what a difficult letter you have to write. My poor mother. How much good she thought there was in Willoughby.
I'm sure we all thought so.
Put in the letter that she must send to have us home at once.
Would you not find it harder to be at Barton, where everything must remind you of him?
Where am I ever to be happy now? I have made my attachment and can never make another. Eleanor.
Oh, who can this be? So early, too. Marianne, you will be seen looking out at the window.
Oh, it is Colonel Brandon. Are we never to be safe from him?
He will not come in, as Mrs. Jennings is from home.
He is coming in. I am going to my room. We all know of what she has gone to talk of this morning.
Pray, Marianne.
I do not wish to see Colonel Brandon.
Marianne.
I do not want his pity. What can Colonel Brandon know about a broken heart? Nothing. Colonel Brandon, ma'am.
Thank you.
You must excuse me, sir.
Miss Marianne. Miss Dashwood. I have just met Mrs. Jennings in Bond Street, and she encouraged me to come on.
Sir?
I hope to be a means of giving comfort. Though where so many hours have been spent in convincing myself that I am right, is there not some reason to fear I may be wrong?
You have seen what Mr. Willoughby's behaviour has done to my sister.
Indeed.
If you have something to tell me of him, pray tell me, Colonel Brandon, for his conduct has been unfathomable.
Miss Dashwood, you have probably entirely forgotten a conversation in which I alluded to a lady I once had known as resembling in some measure your sister Marianne.
Indeed, I have not forgotten it.
Ah. The lady was one of my nearest relations, an orphan from her infancy and under the guardianship of my father. I cannot remember the time when I did not love Eliza. Her love for me was, I believe, as fervent as the attachment of your sister to Mr. Willoughby. Eliza's fortune was large, and at 17 she was married, against her inclination, to my brother. We were within a few hours of eloping together for Scotland. The treachery or the folly of my cousin's maid betrayed us. I was banished to the house of a relation far distant. Eliza was allowed no liberty, no society, no amusement, till my father's point was gained. My brother had no regard for her. From the first, he treated her unkindly. But the shock which her marriage gave me was of trifling weight. It was nothing to what I felt when I heard about 2 years afterwards of her divorce.
Colonel Brandon, pray do not go on if it pains you so.
I must, for your sister's sake. I had gone with my regiment to India, and my first care when I returned was to seek for her, but I could not trace her beyond her first seducer. At last I did find her, imprisoned for debt and in the last stage of consumption. Life could do nothing for her beyond giving time for a better preparation for death. I saw her placed in comfortable lodgings. I visited her every day during the rest of her short life. I was with her in her last moments.
She must have suffered very much. Poor Eliza.
You are good to say so, Miss Dashwood. She left to my care another Eliza, her only child, the offspring of her first guilty connection. She loved the child, and it was a valued, a precious trust to me. I had no family, no home, and therefore placed my little Eliza at school. I saw her there whenever I could. And after the death of my brother, which left me in possession of the family property, she frequently visited me at Delaford. I called her a distant relation, but I'm well aware that I am generally suspected of a much nearer connection with her. 3 years ago, when she was 14, I removed her from school and placed her under the care of a very respectable woman in Dorset. And for 2 years, I had every reason to be pleased with her situation. But last February, she suddenly disappeared. I had allowed her to go to Bath with one of her young friends. For 8 months, what I thought, what I feared, may be imagined.
Could it be... could Willoughby...
Little did Mr. Willoughby imagine when he censured me for breaking up our intended visit to Whitwell that I was called away to the relief of one whom he had made poor and miserable. He had left the girl whose youth and innocence he had seduced in a situation of the utmost distress. He had left her promising to return. He neither returned nor wrote. Such has been the unhappy resemblance between the fate of mother and daughter. So imperfectly have I discharged my trust.
Is the lady still in town?
No. As soon as she recovered from her lying in, for I found her near her delivery, I removed her and her child into the country. And there they remain.
This account of Willoughby is beyond everything.
His character is now before you. And who now can tell what were his true designs on your sister? Miss Dashwood, you must use your own discretion in communicating to her what I have told you. You must know best what will be its effect. He has used her very ill.
Have you ever seen Mr. Willoughby since you left him at Barton?
Eliza confessed to me, though most reluctantly, the name of her lover. And when Willoughby returned to town, we met by appointment. He to defend, I to punish his conduct. We returned unwounded, and the meeting, therefore, never got abroad.
I am determined to drop Mr. Willoughby's acquaintance immediately.
You cannot drop it, for you never made it.
Well, then, Mr. Palmer, I am sure I am glad I never did.
I wish him of the devil with all my heart.
Sir John!
Poor Miss Marianne. You must tell her how much I pity her, Miss Dashwood. I am sure I do not know where in the world I would be without Mr. Palmer.
Miss Dashwood, it is very shocking indeed.
Marianne feels it so, Lady Middleton.
I never knew a girl to cry so much.
I will not speak another word to him. Meet him where I might. Though Brandon may feel Mr. Willoughby may give him his chance with my cousin.
I should never wish to see Mr. Willoughby do harm to any lady.
I'm sure I hope I may be confined as soon as possible, so I may go and see Miss Grey's clothes.
To be sure, for though my wife may wish never to mention the gentleman's name again, she cannot have enough of his new carriages and his lady's splendour.
I hope Mrs. Willoughby is a woman of elegance and fortune, and I hope she will leave her card as soon as she is married.
Madam, I would beg you never to mention this matter in front of Miss Marianne.
Cousin Eleanor, I think I have the remedy for putting all this out of both your minds.
I would be very glad to dwell on happier subjects.
Oh, to be sure, this will please you.
If it is the arrival of Miss Dashwood's brother with his wife...
Oh, that is old news. No, the Miss Steeles are to be with us any day.
Oh, be sure. Anna Maria will be very happy to see them.
Oh, I will be mighty happy to have them call at my house, Sir John.
I know Miss Lucy will not long keep from Miss Dashwood's acquaintance. She was so afraid, cousin, that you would be gone home before she was in town.
Miss Dashwood, Anne and me should have been quite disappointed if I had not found you still in town. But I always thought I should.
I'm very happy to see you both.
It would have been such a great pity to have went away before your brother and sister were arrived.
So much chat for Miss Dashwood and none for me. Come, you must both kiss me.
Dear Mrs. Jennings.
And how did you travel?
Not in the stage. We came post all the way and had a very smart beau to attend us. Dr. Davis was coming to town, and so we thought we'd join him in a post chaise. He behaved very genteelly and paid 10 or 12 shillings more than we did.
And the doctor is a single man, I warrant you.
Everybody laughs at me so about the doctor, and I cannot think why. He's no beau of mine.
Well, the doctor is the man, I see.
I suppose you will go and stay with your brother and sister, Miss Dashwood, when they come to town.
No, I do not think we shall.
Oh, yes, I dare say you will.
Do they bring Mrs. Ferrars with them?
I do not know what company John and Fanny bring with them.
I am sure I do not think this toothpick case quite in the style of a gentleman.
Since I have no commission here, Miss Dashwood, pray you excuse me, for I have a call I must make the other side of the street.
I cannot say how long it will take to have my mother's jewels looked over.
And what is an idea?
Miss Marianne, will you come with me?
Mrs. Jennings, I cannot pay visits.
I will not be above a quarter of an hour.
No, I wish to see the case from the window again. No, do not put the gold one away. That may yet be my choice.
Marianne.
Eleanor, the matter of Mama's jewels is all yours to dispatch.
What a difficulty that gentleman makes over the choosing of a toothpick case.
And I might have this one set with pearls.
Madam.
I wish to inquire if these may be reset.
If you will be so good as to wait a moment.
Thank you.
If I do not have it by me for Tuesday week, my life will be insupportable. I bid you good day.
To place so much necessity on a gewgaw.
Eleanor, Marianne.
Brother. How are you, John?
Well, thank you. Is not this meeting fortunate? I wished very much to call upon you yesterday, but it was impossible. This morning I fully intended to call on you if I could possibly find a spare half hour. But one always has so much to do on the first coming to town. I'm come here to buy Fanny a seal. But tomorrow I think I shall be able to call on you and be introduced to Mrs. Jennings. I understand she's a woman of good fortune. And your cousins, the Middletons, too. They are excellent neighbours in the country, I understand.
Oh, their attention to our comfort, their friendliness in every particular, is more than I can express.
I am extremely glad to hear it. But so they ought to be. They are people of large fortune, they are related to you, and every civility might reasonably be expected from them. Edward brought us a most charming report of your cottage. He said it was the most complete thing of its kind.
Did Edward say he was happy with us?
He was glad to see you accommodated as you should be. But I shall call on you tomorrow and have all your news. Good day, sisters.
Good day.
There is no difficulty with these, ma'am. They may be reset how you please.
Take my arm, Eleanor.
Thank you. You will find it a pleasant walk to my cousins, the Middletons.
Now we are at liberty, I must congratulate you on your friend, Mrs. Jennings. We only knew her to be the widow of a man who got all his money in a low way. But if she's a friend to such a man as Colonel Brandon, whom I was glad to meet, she seems a most valuable woman indeed. Her house, her style of living, all bespeak an exceedingly good income. She must have a great deal to leave.
Nothing at all, I should rather suppose, for she has only her jointure.
Both daughters are exceedingly well married, and therefore I cannot perceive the necessity of her remembering them further. Whereas by taking so much notice of you, she has given you a sort of claim on her future consideration.
Brother, your anxiety for our welfare and prosperity carries you too far.
Is Colonel Brandon a man of fortune?
Yes, he has a very good property in Dorsetshire.
Ah, I'm glad of it. He seems a most gentlemanlike man, and I think, Eleanor, I may congratulate you on the prospect of a very respectable establishment in life.
Me, brother?
Well, he likes you. I observed him narrowly, and I'm convinced of it. What is the amount of his fortune?
I believe it is 2,000 a year, but I am sure Colonel Brandon has not the smallest wish of marrying me.
A very little trouble on your side secures him. As for any attachment you may have felt to another gentleman, well, that is quite out of the question. Colonel Brandon must be the man. It would be something remarkable now, something droll, if Fanny should have a brother and I a sister settling at the same time. And yet it is not unlikely.
Is Mr. Edward Ferrars going to be married?
It's not actually settled, but there is such a thing in agitation. He has a most excellent mother. Mrs. Ferrars will settle on him £1,000 a year. The lady is the Honourable Miss Morton, only daughter of the late Lord Morton. She has £30,000. It is a very desirable connection on both sides. £1,000 a year is a great deal for a mother to give away, but Mrs. Ferrars has a noble spirit. She put banknotes into Fanny's hands to the amount of £200. And extremely acceptable it is, for we must live at a great expense while we are here.
Your expenses, both in town and country, must certainly be considerable, but your income is a large one.
In consequence of my father's bequeathing so much to your mother, we have been obliged to make large purchases of linen, china, etc., to supply the place of what you took away.
This is Sir John Middleton's house.
Ah, it's most pleasing. I thought it would be smaller.
To be sure, Anne, I can't see how you are to be made any finer than you are, however long you may look in the mirror. I'm sure Miss Marianne wants to see how she looks.
Oh, I have no necessity for a place by the mirror, Miss Lucy.
I'm sure I wish my front was cut like yours, Miss Dashwood.
You are very kind. Anne, I'm sure Miss Marianne will go up to Mrs. John Dashwood with you, for to be sure you are the eldest and should be noticed first.
Miss Marianne! How I long to be noticed by your sister-in-law and by her mother, Mrs. Ferrars.
Pity me, dear Miss Dashwood. There is nobody here but you that can feel for me. Oh, I declare I can hardly stand. In a moment, I shall see the person on whom all my happiness depends. That is to be my mother, Mrs. Ferrars.
Miss Lucy, I do pity you.
I am sure I would be more to be pitied if Edward was here, and we must hide what we are to one another. Did you know he was come to town?
Yes, he has called on us twice.
Oh.
But each time we have been from home.
Ah. He has not come tonight, you know, for fear of betraying his affection for me. Is it not very fortunate that Mrs. Dashwood's invitation to dine should come the same week as Anne and I should choose to fulfil our invitation to stay with the Middletons? How do I do?
Your colour is high.
I declare you notice that because you are used to looking at your sister, and she is so pale. I'm sure I do not know how I will eat a thing at dinner. Come, I shall be very glad to have your introduction to your brother and his wife.
Mrs. Dashwood, I must own Harry Dashwood to be quite an inch taller than my darling William.
Oh, my dear, you do your son wrong.
Indeed, dear Lady Middleton.
I am sure your boy is taller than mine. What is your opinion, Mama?
I'm sure I wish Harry was taller for his age, for though Edward was a middling boy, Robert was quite a head taller than he at the same age.
Oh, Mrs. Ferrars, I have seen both William and Harry, and I must beg you to agree with me that there is not the smallest difference in the world between them. I am sure Miss Dashwood agrees with me.
I must vouch for William Middleton.
Why, Eleanor, you are Harry's aunt.
I see you're not particular as to your own family, Miss Dashwood.
I did not wish to offend by stating the truth of the matter, Mrs. Ferrars. Have not you just spoken in favour of Master Middleton?
I can have no opinion of Master Middleton, for I've never seen him.
Miss Marianne, I'm sure you think your nephew the greater boy.
I have no opinion to give. I have never thought about it.
Oh, Sir John, I wish most particularly to hear your opinion of my boy before I send him back to his nurse.
I think all boys are fine boys, ma'am.
Colonel Brandon, you must give me your opinion and be discreet.
Certainly, Mr. Dashwood.
They are done by my eldest sister. And you, as a man of taste, will, I dare say, be pleased with them?
They are excellently done.
Well, Eleanor is generally reckoned to draw extremely well. We must let the ladies see them.
Indeed. Mrs. Dashwood, I must congratulate you on being able to possess such fine work.
I'm sure I think them mighty charming.
Let me see those screens.
There, Mama. They are Eleanor's work.
Oh, very pretty.
They are very pretty, ma'am, ain't they? Do you not think they are something in Miss Morton's style of painting, ma'am? She does paint most delightfully. How beautifully her last landscape is done.
Beautifully, indeed. But Miss Morton does everything well.
This is admiration of a very particular kind. What is Miss Morton to us? Who knows or who cares for her? It is Eleanor's work which you consider.
Miss Morton is Lord Morton's daughter.
My dear Marianne.
Eleanor is your sister, John. You too might use her more kindly.
Manners, sister, manners.
Marianne, dear, dear Eleanor, don't mind them. Don't let them make you unhappy.
Oh, here, my dear, here are my salts. I shall take you home this very moment if you are ill.
They are making me ill by using Eleanor so bad.
My sister has been so little out of late.
I'm sure I think them the prettiest screens I ever saw. Though you will say I say so only out of my particularity for you. There, there, Miss Marianne.
Is there any assistance I can give?
No. Thank you, Colonel Brandon.
Poor Marianne. She has not such good health as my other sister.
I value it highly in Miss Marianne that she cannot bear to see her sister slighted.
Marianne is very nervous, and one must allow that there is something very trying to a young woman who has been a beauty in the loss of her personal attractions. You would not think it, perhaps, but Marianne was remarkably handsome a few months ago, quite as handsome as Eleanor. Now, you see, it's all gone.
My dear Miss Dashwood.
Good morning.
I come to talk to you of my happiness. Could anything be so flattering as Mrs. Ferris' way of treating me last evening? You know how I dreaded seeing her. But the very moment I was introduced, there was such an affability in her behaviour as really should seem to say she had took quite a fancy to me. Was it not so?
She was certainly very civil to you.
Civil? Did you see nothing but only civility? I saw a vast deal more. Such kindness has fell to the share of nobody but me.
If they had known your engagement, nothing could be more flattering than their treatment of you.
I guessed you would say so. But there was no reason in the world why Mrs. Ferris should seem to like me if she did not. And her liking is everything. I'm sure it will all end well. I wonder I never heard you say how agreeable Mrs. Dashwood was. Miss Dashwood, you seem low. You don't speak. Are you ill?
I was never in better health.
I am sure I should have seen in a moment if Mrs. Ferris had took a dislike to me. Oh, who may that be?
Colonel Brandon often calls at about this hour.
Anne and I say we'll have your sister in the end. But I'm sure I shall like him then. But it is the most inconvenient thing in the world to have this tete-a-tete interrupted, whoever he might be.
Mr. Ferrars.
No.
Miss Dashwood. Miss Lucy.
Edward.
Dear Mr. Ferrars.
I am glad to find you at home, Miss Dashwood.
I much regret that we were not in when you called before. There is so much to do, and we have so many friends in town.
Yes. Many friends in town.
Do sit down, Mr. Ferrars.
Thank you.
I had the honour of meeting your mother last night, Edward. She is a mighty fine woman.
You will be glad to hear, sir, that my mother is well. She and Margaret are busy with their alterations.
I am sure if I were Margaret, I would have a very long face not being in town.
A visit to town is not to every young girl's advantage. But you must excuse me. I must fetch Marianne. She will be very happy to see you.
Let me ring for you.
To be sure, Eleanor may solicit her sister's presence to much more effect than a servant.
You will excuse me.
Eleanor?
I thought to find you in your room.
What are you doing?
Admiring this picture. 'Tis unusual, is it not?
Oh, it is certainly not worth the attention you give it. Why did you not tell me Lucy was gone?
She is not gone.
Well, it is not like you to leave a visitor.
She is not alone.
Oh, I thought the knock I heard must be the Colonel's.
In that you are mistaken.
Oh, then I am glad for his sake. I'm sure even I would not wish Colonel Brandon a tête-à-tête with Lucy Steele. But whose company could you find distasteful enough to make you dawdle? It is not...
No, it is not. Edward is here.
Edward? But, Eleanor, why did you not call me immediately? But to stand idling on the stairs when Edward is here? To leave Edward alone with Lucy Steele when you might share the pleasure of his company?
I am glad you have found such good friends in the Middletons.
Oh, dear Edward! Oh, this is a moment of great happiness. Oh, this would almost make amends for everything.
Oh, Miss Marianne, you are too kind to me.
What else would you think to find us? Could he find us, Eleanor?
Sit down, Edward.
Oh, the sight of you, Edward, is the only comfort London has afforded me. But why were you not at your sister's yesterday?
Our time there was so happy.
Oh, it was dull, wretchedly dull.
I was engaged elsewhere.
Engaged? But what was that, when such friends were to be met?
Marianne. Perhaps, Miss Marianne, you think young men never stand upon engagements if they have no mind to keep them, little as well as great.
Well, not so. I believe Edward has the most delicate conscience in the world and is scrupulous in performing every engagement, however minute and however it might be against his pleasure. Well, he is fearful of giving pain and wounding expectation.
I wish, Marianne, that your praise could detain me longer.
Oh, do not go so soon.
I am sure Edward must have an engagement he must keep.
Miss Lucy, I see you and Miss Marianne are friends in the matter. I must bid you all good morning.
Why must Lucy Steele come here again this morning? And to stay so long? Well, I'm sure she could see we wanted her gone. Well, how teasing to Edward not to go.
Why so? We are all his friends, and Lucy has been the longest known to him.
You know, Eleanor, that this is the kind of talking which I cannot bear.
It is a boy! A spider boy I ever saw! Oh. I, Nancy, run and tell that in the servants' hall. You may all put yourselves quite in the way of a celebration.
Having heard of nothing but Mrs. Palmer's condition, we will now hear of nothing but the child's.
A boy, my dears, the finest heir you ever saw. And I'm sure he will be the heir, for he is a fine big boy.
You are to be congratulated, Miles.
Oh, I am sure I am, for Charlotte is so well. And I'm sure she would not have been if it had not been for my care.
No, I am very happy to hear the news, ma'am.
Oh, to be sure, Charlotte is as much in spirit as any mother I ever saw.
And who is the child like?
Why, my dear, like his mother.
Then he must be much like his grandmother.
Oh, you are so good to say so. So I'm sure Mr. Palmer cannot see it at all. Though the child is like Charlotte, I can see in him all Mr. Palmer's looks. Oh, but I must go back at once. I came only to tell you the news. And to say that since I am to be very much occupied at the Palmer's, you are to spend all your days with Mary. I would not have your pleasure curtailed because Charlotte needs me. And Lady Middleton will be very happy to have you, for I'm sure she is glad to have you as companions to the Miss Steeles, and so you will escape my company and are to be congratulated on that.
Eleanor, may I have the pleasure of introducing Fanny's brother, Robert Ferret?
Ma'am.
My sister, Miss Eleanor Dashwood.
The pleasure is mine, sir.
Eleanor does not even pretend to be musical. That department is all her sister's. That is Miss Marianne. See how acutely she listens.
I'm sure I've seen her somewhere before.
Yes, sir. We had the honour to be present at the jeweller's when you were making a selection of a toothpick case.
I'm sure now it has come that I wish I had decided upon the ivory.
Eleanor has the honour of knowing Edward.
An honour to know Edward. Well, you may account it so, ma'am. To be sure, I hardly think his manner fit for him to be in society. He takes as much care of his appearance as if he is sure no one regarded him.
Excuse me, Fanny beckons me.
I dare say in the country Edward's manners may seem well enough, but in town... Have you seen him in town?
But once, sir.
You see, He does not even trouble to make himself pleasant. I tell my mother that it is all the fault of his education. Mrs. Ferrars, I say, if only you had sent him to Westminster as well as myself, instead of sending him to Mr. Pratt's, all this would have been prevented.
Indeed, sir.
I know my mother now sees the error of her ways. You reside in Devonshire, I think, in a cottage near Dawlish.
We are very far from Dawlish.
Can that be?
Devonshire is a large county, sir.
I take it your cottage is charming. I'm excessively fond of a cottage.
My dear Fanny, while Mrs. Jennings is so much occupied at her daughter's, what think you of having my sisters to us?
To us?
The expense would be nothing. And though it is a mistake that they are invited here this evening, being thought to reside with us, Mrs. Denison's mistake in inviting them reminds me of my duty. I am their brother.
My love, I would ask them with all my heart, but I had just settled on asking the Miss Steeles to spend a few days with us. I think the attention is due to them, as their uncle did so very well by Edward. My mother has a very good opinion of them, and they are such favourites with Harry.
Yes, to be sure, for Mr. Pratt's sake.
Your sisters shall come another year.
Another year may make the invitation needless.
I am sure I hope that I see Eleanor settled with Colonel Brandon very soon. Then Marianne's coming to town, maybe at their expense.
Lord, my dear Miss Dashwood, have you heard the news?
I have been reading all the morning, ma'am.
Oh, something so strange. When I got to Mr. Palmer's, I found Charlotte quite in a fuss about the child. She was sure it was very ill. I looked at it directly and it was nothing in the world but the red gum. But Charlotte would not be satisfied, so Mr. Donovan was sent for. He said, just as we did, that it was nothing in the world but the red gum, and then Charlotte was easy. And just as he was going away, he said in a whisper, I believe there is no great reason for alarm. I hope Mrs. Dashwood will do very well.
What, is Fanny ill?
Well, that is exactly what I said, my dear. And then it all came out. The long and short of the matter seems to be this. Mr. Edward Ferrars has been engaged above this 12-month to my cousin Lucy. Could you have believed such a thing possible? Their engagement was kept a great secret, except from Anne, for fear of Mrs. Ferrars. And poor Anne, who you know is a very well-meaning creature but no conjurer, popped it all out to your sister Fanny, who was sitting all alone at her carpet work. I am sure Anne thought that they were all so fond of Lucy there would be no difficulty. But Mrs. Dashwood fell into hysterics immediately, and a terrible scene took place, for Lucy and your brother were come in. Your sister scolded like fury and drove Lucy into a fainting fit. I must say I think she was used very hardly. Oh, Mrs. Dashwood declared they should not stay a minute longer in the house, and your brother had to go down on his knees that they might have time to pack their clothes. Oh, I have no patience with your sister, and hope it may be a match in spite of her. She fell into such hysterics that Mr. Donovan was sent for. He has now gone back to Harley Street that he may be within call when Mrs. Ferrars hears the news. They say that Mr. Edward is monstrous fond of Lucy, and I see no reason on earth why they should not marry, for I'm sure Mrs. Ferrars may afford to do well by her son, and though Lucy has next to nothing herself, she knows better than anybody how to make the most of everything. Lord, how snug they might live in such another cottage as yours, or a little bigger, with two maids and two men. I believe I could help them out with a housemaid, for my Betty has a sister out of place that would fit them exactly. I am sure there is nothing that can be said on such a matter, is there, Miss Dashwood? Quite nothing to be said.
Dear Marianne.
Oh, you have come to tell me something. What is it? Is it Mama?
It concerns a friend of ours.
Willoughby.
What I have to say concerns Edward Ferrars.
Oh, what has happened?
He is to marry Lucy Steele.
What? Eleanor, this is not possible.
Mrs. Jennings came in with the news just now.
Oh, it is gossip. She is wrong.
I know it to be true.
Well, has Edward written to you? Is he a second Willoughby?
You must not think so of Edward.
in the light of what you now know about Mr. Willoughby, you must see that that comparison is unfair to Edward.
But Lucy Steele, oh, she is so unamiable, so incapable of attaching a sensible man, it cannot be true.
I have known of it these 4 months. When Lucy first came to Barton Park last November, she told me of it.
4 months? You have known these 4 months?
I have.
What, while attending me in all my misery, has this been on your heart? And I have reproached you for being happy.
It was not fit that you should then know how much I was the reverse.
4 months? So calm, so cheerful, how have you been supported?
My promise to Lucy obliged me to be secret.
And yet you loved him.
Yes. But I did not love only him. I owed it to my family and friends not to create in them a solicitude about me.
Oh, Eleanor.
I wish Edward very happy. And after all, Marianne, after all that is bewitching in the idea of a single and constant attachment, and all that can be said of one's happiness depending on any particular person, it is not meant. It is not fit. It is not possible that it should be so.
If such is your way of thinking, if the loss of that which is most valued is so easily to be made up by something else, your resolution, your self-command are perhaps a little less to be wondered at.
I understand you. You do not suppose I have ever felt much. For 4 months, Marianne, I have known myself to be divided from Edward forever. I have had Lucy's hopes and exultation to listen to again and again. I have had to contend against the unkindness of his sister and the insolence of his mother. I have suffered the punishment of an attachment without enjoying its advantage.
Oh, Eleanor, you have made me hate myself forever. How barbarous have I been to you, you who have been my only comfort, who have borne with me in all my misery, who have seemed to be only suffering for me.
Edward is a man of honour. He seeks to keep an engagement that he entered 4 years ago.
Then he is wiser now.
Whatever we may think of his behaviour then, it must not alter our manner to him now.
To hear you at your music again, Miss Marianne.
I only try it, ma'am, to hear its tone.
It should be put in tune for you if you wish to play.
I play only for myself at present, ma'am.
I'm sure that is Colonel Brandon's step I can hear coming up with Eleanor.
Well, why should you expect Colonel Brandon, ma'am?
Distressed on Fanny's account.
No, it is your brother. Now we shall have it all.
Mrs. Jennings, Marianne.
Ma'am. Marianne.
Good morning, John.
Oh, very glad, I am sure, Mr. Dashwood. And how is Mrs. Dashwood?
You have heard, I suppose, of the very shocking discovery that took place under our roof yesterday. My wife has suffered dreadfully. Mrs. Ferrars, too. It is a wonder, after being so deceived, that they are not made more ill by it. Fanny shall never think well of anybody again. It was quite out of the benevolence of her heart that she asked these young women to her house, merely because she thought they deserved some attention, were harmless, well-behaved girls. Otherwise, we both wished very much to have invited you and Marianne to be with us, and now to be so rewarded. I wish with all my heart we asked your sisters instead, said poor Fanny in her affectionate way.
It is very kind of Fanny to say so.
To be sure, though, I would not have spared you both.
Thank you, Mrs. Jennings.
What poor Mrs. Ferrars suffered is not to be described. While she, with the truest affection, had been planning a most eligible connection for him with Miss Morton, that Edward should all the time be secretly engaged to another person. Nothing Miss Ferrars could say would make Edward put an end to the engagement. His mother explained to him her liberal designs in the case of his marrying Miss Morton, told him she would settle on him the Norfolk estate, which, clear of land tax, brings in a good 1,000 a year, offered even, when matters grew desperate, to make it 1,200, and represented him the certain penury that must attend any other match.
Gracious God!
Can this be possible?
Well, may you wonder, Marianne, at the obstinacy in Edward which could resist such an argument. But he would not give up his engagement to Lucy Steele.
Then he has acted like an honest man. I beg your pardon, Mr. Dashwood, but Lucy is my cousin. And I believe there is not a better kind of girl in the world, nor one who more deserves a good husband.
I do not mean to reflect upon the behaviour of any person whom you have regard for, Mrs. Dennings. We all wish her extremely happy. Miss Lucy Steele is, I dare say, a very deserving young woman. But to have entered into a secret engagement with a young man under her uncle's care, the son of a woman of such a very large fortune as Mrs. Ferrars, Edward has drawn his own lot, and I fear it will be a bad one.
That is my fear, too.
Who could but agree with me, Marianne?
Well, sir, and how did it end?
Well, I am sorry to say, ma'am, in a most unhappy rupture. Edward is dismissed forever from his mother's notice. He left her house yesterday, but where he has gone or whether he is still in town, I do not know.
What is to become of him?
Indeed, ma'am, it is a melancholy consideration. The interest of £2,000, how can a man live on it?
Well, I'm sure he should be very welcome to a bed and board at my house.
You have not heard the worst.
What is that, John?
Mrs. Ferrars has determined, with a very natural kind of spirit, to settle the whole estate upon Robert. Immediately. I left her just now with her lawyer, talking over the business.
Excuse me. Oh, to be sure, I never saw so many people in Kensington Gardens in my life.
It is the mildness of the day.
I've never seen such a spring day in March.
Do you look for someone, Mrs. Jennings?
I know your sister would not accompany us for fear of meeting Mrs. Willoughby, but I'm sure I should like to see her if she's in the crowd. I should like to see how the marriage suits him, too. But I can see no one we know, can you, my dear?
I am sure John and Fanny will keep at home today.
Look at that bonnet. It is a wonder she can hold her head up at all.
Surely, ma'am, it is Miss Steele.
Is it?
Certainly. She has seen us.
Then you must get it all out of her, my dear. I will leave you both together. Then Anne will tell you anything you ask. I've seen a friend I may walk up and down with.
My dear Mrs. Clark.
My dear Mrs.
Is Mrs. Jennings angry? I suppose she's heard all about it.
She has no cause to be angry with you, Miss Steele.
That is a good thing. And Lady Middleton, is she angry?
I cannot suppose it possible that she should be.
People may say what they choose about Mr. Ferrars declaring he would not have Lucy, for it is no such thing, I assure you. Whatever Lucy might think about it herself, it was no business of other people to set it down for certain.
I never heard anything of the kind hinted at, I assure you, Miss Steele.
Oh, did not you? But it was said that nobody in their senses could expect Mr. Ferrars to give up a woman like Miss Morton with £30,000 for Lucy Steele that had nothing at all. And when Edward did not come near us for 3 days, I believe in my heart that Lucy gave it up for lost. However, this morning he came just as we came home from church, and then it all came out, how he declared before Mrs. Ferrars that he loved nobody but Lucy, and nobody but Lucy would he have. He said it seemed to him, as now he had no fortune, it would be quite unkind to keep her on to the engagement. But to be sure, Lucy would not give ear to such a kind of talk, for she could live with Edward upon a trifle. I had a vast deal more to say to you, but I must not stay away from the Richardsons any longer. If anything should happen to take you and your sister from town, and Mrs. Jennings should want company, I'm sure Lucy and I should be very glad to come and stay with her. Goodbye. Oh, to be sure, if I was you, I would not have worn my spotted muslin for fear of its being torn.
Who's his mamma's poppet, then?
To be sure, Mrs. Palmer, that child is the most amusing you have seen in your life.
When he's not crying, Mr. Palmer, he amuses me quite so much as you. I'm sure you think him a poppet, do you not, Miss Marianne?
He is a very agreeable child, ma'am.
Charlotte, has Mr. Donovan said when you might go to Cleveland?
We may go when we please. He is sure such a fine child will travel very well.
Will you be glad to go home, Mrs. Palmer?
I am sure I will be glad to go anywhere Mr. Palmer is.
I do not wish to be where that child is.
Nurse, you should take him.
Then do you mean to be at Cleveland by Easter?
I mean to be there by Easter.
And there you shall find me, Miss Marianne. Oh, I would be
very glad to have you and your sister there if you would come.
If you take the Miss Dashwoods with you, Charlotte, I must come too, or be all alone here.
Madam, you are very kind.
You must come, Miss Dashwood. Say you will come. Your sister has not found London a healthy place.
You see how pretty he may be when he chooses.
From Cleveland, you are but 50 miles from Barton.
Eleanor, you will excuse my sister and I if we discuss the matter.
If it is the expense of it.
Eleanor?
Excuse me.
Cleveland? I cannot go to Cleveland.
You forget, Marianne, that its situation is not... that it is not in the neighbourhood.
But it is in Somersetshire. I cannot go into Somersetshire, there where I look forward to going with Willoughby. Eleanor, you cannot expect me to go there.
Marianne, you are longing to be gone from town. If we go with the Palmers, we will be at Barton in 3 weeks.
Oh, to see dear Barton.
There is no way we could be gone sooner without insult to Mrs. Jennings. She will be very happy to part with us at Cleveland.
Colonel Brandon, I do not know what I shall do without the Miss Dashwoods, for they are quite resolved on going home from the Palmers. And how forlorn we shall be when I come back. You and I shall gape at one another dull as two cats.
I am sure Mrs. Dashwood will be very glad to have them home.
But I'm sure we shall miss them.
It is good to see Miss Marianne beginning to interest herself in her music again.
Miss Dashwood is doing me the honour of copying Lady Middleton's print of Dovedale. I am sure she would not mind you looking over her shoulder at it. It is such a lowering day, she must sit right in the window to have light enough. You will have no objection, Miss Dashwood, to the Colonel looking at how you go on?
None at all, ma'am.
I have heard, Miss Dashwood, of the injustice your friend Mr. Ferrers has suffered from his family. For if I understand the matter right, he has been entirely cast off by them for persevering in his engagement with a very deserving young woman. Have I been rightly informed?
Your information is correct, sir.
The cruelty of dividing or attempting to divide two young people long attached to each other is terrible. Mrs. Ferrers does not know what she may be doing, what she may drive her son to. I see Mrs. Jennings has moved further off, so she may not hear what we are saying. I understand Mr. Ferrers means to take orders.
He has always wished to enter the church.
Miss Dashwood, will you be so good as to tell him that the living of Delaford is just now vacant, and that it is his if he think it worth his acceptance? I only wish it were more valuable. It is worth but £200 a year, but my pleasure in granting it to him will be very great.
Oh, sir, you are very kind.
You need not press my hand so. It is a small thing that I do.
I do not think you could find a better man.
Miss Dashwood, your recommendation of him must be everything.
I see you press his hand, Miss Dashwood.
I only wish the house was not so small and indifferent.
The smallness of the house, I cannot imagine any inconvenience to them, for it will be in proportion to their family and income.
But this little rectory can do no more than make Mr. Ferrers comfortable as a bachelor. It cannot enable him to marry. His marriage must still be a distant good. At least, I am afraid it cannot take place very soon.
Do you speak to me, sir?
I beg pardon, ma'am. I did not mean to interrupt your thoughts. Is it the news of leaving London which makes so much improvement in your sister?
I believe she will be very happy to see Mama again.
I wish we could have made her happy here.
Sir, she has been much happier since she had your information. But nothing I can say will convince her that Willoughby was not in earnest in the things he said to her.
Can I trust you as much in this other commission to Mr. Ferrers?
It must be my pleasure, for Edward's sake. I shall write it to him immediately.
I will take leave of you.
Goodbye, sir.
Are you going, sir?
I have promised to look in at Sir John Middleton's.
Well, then, sir, I pray you escort Miss Marianne, for she was talking of walking over there with some question from her mamma to Sir John.
I should be honoured, Miss Marianne.
Oh, it is but a sketch, sir, which you might be good enough to take yourself. I have it in my room. I will bring it to you in the hall.
Miss Dashwood, I must give you my thanks again. Good day, ma'am.
Sir. Well, Miss Dashwood, I do not ask you what the Colonel has been saying to you, for though upon my honour I tried to keep out of hearing, I could not help catching enough to know his business. Oh, I was never better pleased in my life, and I wish you joy of it with all my heart.
It is a matter of great joy to me, and I feel the goodness of Colonel Brandon most sensibly. I never was more astonished in my life.
Oh, Lord, my dear, I have often thought of late there was nothing more likely to happen. If ever there was a happy couple in the world, I think I shall soon know where to look for them. And as for the house being a bad one, I do not know what the Colonel would be at, for it is as fine a one as ever I saw. Is the coach brought round?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, my dear, I must be gone before I've had half my talk out. Would you have me tell Lucy, for I think of going as far as Holborn?
Till I have written to Mr. Ferrars, I think it ought not to be mentioned to anybody else. It is important that no time should be lost, for he will have much to do relative to his ordination.
Should not the Colonel write himself? Is he not the proper person to announce this news? I have not heard of anything to please me so well since Charlotte was brought to bed. Oh, to be sure, you will be writing to your mother directly.
Well, no, ma'am. I write to Mr. Ferrars.
Miss Dashwood?
Edward. Mr. Ferrars.
I am sorry to startle you. Mrs. Jennings told me that you wished to speak with me. I have met her just now getting into her carriage.
I had just sat down to write to you.
Why should you write?
I must give you my good wishes. I must congratulate you.
You are very generous.
Edward.
Yes?
I am charged with a most agreeable office. Colonel Brandon, who was here only 10 minutes ago, has desired me to say that, understanding you mean to take orders, he has great pleasure in offering you the living of Delaford, now just vacant.
Colonel Brandon give me a living? Can it be possible?
The unkindness of your own relations has made you astonished to find friendship anywhere.
No. Not to find it in you. I cannot be ignorant that to you, to your goodness, I owe it all.
I do assure you that you owe it entirely to your own merit. I have had no hand in it. You owe nothing to my solicitation.
His esteem for you, Miss Dashwood.
I have found him my friend since first I knew him at Barton Park. I believe that you will find him on further acquaintance all that you have heard him to be. At Delaford you will be very near neighbours.
We are to be near neighbours at Delaford.
Mrs. Jennings assures me that the parsonage may be seen from the house.
Colonel Brandon, I think, lodges in St. James's Street.
Yes.
I must hurry away then to send him the thanks which you will not allow me to give to you, to assure him that he has made me a very, an exceedingly happy man.
I wish you and your wife every happiness.
You are kind, Eleanor. Goodbye, Miss Dashwood.
Goodbye, Mr. Ferrars. When I see him again, I shall see him the husband of Lucy Steele.
Now I may put the 5 on the 6, and then... Good evening, Miss Dashwood.
Does your patience come out, ma'am?
I never was so impatient in my life. Come, come, I sent up Mr. Ferrars this morning. How soon will he be ready?
I suppose 2 or 3 months will complete his ordination.
Can the Colonel wait so long? Sure someone else might be found that would do as well.
Colonel Brandon's only object is to be of use to Mr. Ferrars.
You do not mean to persuade me that the Colonel only marries you for the sake of giving a guinea to Mr. Ferrars.
marries me.
Oh, to be sure.
He does not mean to marry me.
Then why was he talking of houses and events? Though I am sure I did not mean to overhear.
I was entreated to tell Mr. Ferrars that the living at Delaford might be his. It was the parsonage of which we spoke.
This is a good joke, to be sure. It is as good a joke as I heard in my life.
You had been supposing me all the day to be going to be married to the Colonel.
I to hear him apologising for a house that, to my knowledge, has 5 sitting rooms and can make up 15 beds. Oh, but it is Lucy to marry Edward, and I am as pleased at that as I would be at any other marriage, though I am sure I would not like to say another marriage might not happen. Take my word for it, that if I am alive, I shall be paying a visit at Delaford Parsonage before Michaelmas, and I'm sure I shan't go if Lucy ain't there.
In part 3 of Sense and Sensibility by Jane Austen, Jane Leonard played Eleanor and Abigail McKern was Marianne. Anne Windsor was Mrs. Jennings, David Calder, John Dashwood, Oriel Smith, Fanny Dashwood, and Nigel Carrington, Robert Ferrars. Brett Usher was Colonel Brandon, Tim Meats, Edward Ferrars, Moya Leslie, Mrs. Palmer, and Alistair Cameron, Mr. Palmer. Francesca Whitburn was Lucy Steele, Catherine Bradshaw, Anne Steele, Malcolm Gerard, Sir John Middleton, and Joan Moon, Lady Middleton. Margot Boyd was Mrs. Ferrars. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Marianne's piano was played by Mary Nash. Sense and Sensibility was adapted for radio by Louise Page and directed by Vanessa Whitburn.